Welcome to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast, where each week, Samantha Johnston, brand developer to the creative and confused, and Nicole Hoagland, small biz and confidence coach to the creatives, are having entrepreneurs share their real stories and tips about their honest and authentic success in business and how they have been able to lead boldly by being themselves. They are creating a movement to show you how to create your own version of success and empower you to be beautifully bold in your business.
Thank you for joining us today on the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast. I'm Samantha.
And I'm Nicole.
And today we're joined with Brooke, who is the founder and editor of Belong Magazine, bi-monthly digital and print magazine celebrating the art and community of blogging, social media, and entrepreneurship. Belong seeks to promote community and connect women in life-giving relationships. Thanks so much for joining us today, Brooke.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we like to get all of our interviews kicked off with, what was your kickstart moment?
My kickstart moment was that my career was working for my family's business, and they decided to sell the business, which meant I had no job. So that was my kickstart moment.
So how did needing a job lead you to creating a magazine, creating Belong?
Well, because my job was, and I'm still actually kind of finishing things up for the family business job, but I had time to actually think, well, if I could do whatever I wanted, like I'm not confined by this job anymore. So if I could do anything, what would I do? You know, just throwing it out there, like what, you know, my wildest dream, what would it be? And I just kind of was writing down, you know, what things kind of get me excited. And my educational background, I graduated college with a degree in photography, graphic design, and creative writing. So I was passionate about those, but I hadn't been using them for the past decade and a half while I was working in healthcare. And I was like, well, I really missed that creative outlet. And so let's see, what could I do with those three things? And a magazine just kind of came to mind. And then the content of the magazine and the purpose behind it was something that had kind of been in my head for years from having blogged and had a hard time with, you know, finding community and that and finding my place and just kind of, yeah, getting into a groove there. And it just kind of evolved from there.
I love it. So you talk about having a passion for the creative outlets, the photography, design, and all of that. Where does some of your inspiration come from?
That's a really good question. I think that a lot of my inspiration just comes from other creative women. You know, a lot of the content of the magazine is not mine. Other people contribute and they graciously contribute, you know, their written work as well as their photography or their like hand lettering skills. The overall vision for the magazine, you know, I knew what I wanted it to look like, and more than that, I knew what I wanted it to feel like as far as visually and like tactilely, if that's a word. I knew where I wanted that to go. And unfortunately, because my education was pre-digital, I sort of had no skills in putting a piece together on the design side. So I was so blessed to connect with someone through Instagram who had like my vibe, had my style, who understood when I said white space, what I meant, and kind of took all of my vision and put it out into this format that I was like, yes, that's it. So it's just kind of evolved from there. But the idea of the magazine being pretty, which I know sounds kind of stupid, but being something nice to look at as well as something that feels good in your hands was actually really important to me.
I love that. And I think that what a lot of us get from Belong isn't just, you know, that it looks good or it feels good, but that it really evokes the emotions that make you feel good on the inside as well. And that, I think, is what's paramount in magazine itself.
Yeah. And I think that, to be honest, I think that some of the white space helps with that because so many, so often when you pick up a magazine, not only is the cover like covered in text about like what you're going to find inside, and that's great, you know, and that's how people sell their magazines. We're obviously appealing to a different crowd, and it's a different type of material, but the white space that's in there isn't something you see in traditional magazines either. You know, they're trying to use every inch of space there because the space costs money, like the paper, the pages, each page costs you something. So, but that was important to me, that had value all on its own, because I wanted people to look at it and not feel like that frenzied, like, clutter and chaos, if you will, of, you know, what our lives probably already feel like. I wanted it to be something you could open and be like, oh, like, it's not like all smack in my face. Like, there's some space in here. And that, I don't know if it makes sense, or if, you know, if that can even be related to a piece of work, but in a sense, that's kind of the feeling we were going for.
It makes complete sense to me. And it reminds me of, in some of our other interviews, we've talked about white space. Our guests have talked about white space, even in the creative world, giving yourself that,
yes,
that space to be able to clear your mind so that the creativity can come in. Because when we're so overwhelmed with all of our schedules and all of the things that are happening just in life and business, it's really hard to create. Your creativity gets stifled. And I love that, because I think that that is something that a lot of other magazines miss,
yeah,
in their presentation, is that it is chaotic. It's overwhelming. There's, yeah, so many things inside the magazine. Sure, great, but give me space to, yeah, absorb them at my own pace. And
well, that's great. It's, and I think that, you know, other creatives and people who actually like make things can relate to it. But I mean, there's a reason why there's margins, the sides of, you know, I mean, and it's not every page, but there's a reason why there's, you know, a 1-inch white border around things. There's a reason why, you know, the ads may not hit the edges, because, you know, it's all very deliberate and thought out as far as how we want the reader to feel reading it and how we want the content to come across.
Mm-hmm.
I think it feels a lot less invasive when it has the space. And hey, you can write notes in there too if you want to.
Yeah. And what I love about the magazine in itself is you really allow people to be able to read the actual article or story without being overwhelmed, because that can sometimes lead to people not finishing articles or flipping the page because they're not necessarily drawn into it. And what you've been able to do is create that space for the story to shine and not necessarily overwhelm it with other things.
Yeah.
What I want to know, especially because Belong is literally read by thousands of people every time you publish it, what are some of the values that you've been able to bring into the magazine?
I think the biggest value is that people, everyone has a place in this crazy industry, in this crazy world of blogging and social media and, you know, business ownership. And I think it's hard for a lot of people because they don't think that they do. They think that, you know, they're kind of doing it alone and that nobody can relate to them, because everyone's situation is different. And I think that it's important to recognize that we're all unique and no one's going to have the same experience, but being able to be authentic, which is also really important to me, but to be authentic and to try to bring women together into relationships that are life-giving and not just superficial, but where they're actually supporting and encouraging and, you know, building one another up and spurring them on. That's been really important.
And you've done that. Like, I'm just going to say that right now. Like, you've done that with the magazine. I love that you went from kind of the opposite spectrum of healthcare to this ultimate creative magazine. Since your family owned that business, what are some of the skills that you were able to utilize from what you saw from that into how Belong has kind of grown over time?
They are so different, so different. But, you know, time management is a big thing. You know, a lot of what I did doesn't relate at all as far as, like, you know, people management and regulatory issues and policy writing and billing. And but the thing, you know, there were situations like with people that I think have built me, you know, have been built into me as far as how to deal with others. You know, being in healthcare management for so long, you come across a lot of different people. Some are very happy, some are not very happy. And, you know, it kind of helps you learn how to be a little bit more sympathetic. And, you know, there's been some legal issues that those are the ones that I actually feel like my previous career actually did prepare me for, is some of the way that the legal system works and the logistics of how things roll out in even in this realm, which is, you know, unfortunate, but those things happen.
I totally get the people aspect to it. Some people, yeah, are really great. Some people are just in it for the job and just have a poor attitude. And you've been able to translate that positivity into the magazine And I know personally for me, I love reading it every time you guys actually come out with an issue. And it's one of those things that it actually, like, when you start kind of promoting it and whatnot, I immediately go and buy it because I know that the day it arrives on my doorstep, I'm going to take the time to read it because it's just that type of joy that I want to bring into my day.
Oh, thank you. That's a wonderful compliment. I love hearing feedback. Obviously, we all love hearing good feedback. And when, especially for something, you know, as a creative and someone like I'm pouring myself into this, and it's really helpful to get, you know, good, positive encouragement back from other female entrepreneurs, which also causes me to stop and think, who do I need to encourage?
Mm-hmm.
Because it really makes a big difference when someone tells you, hey, you know, you're doing a good job and, you know, you're headed in the right direction. Keep going. Because there's so many times where, you know, you get bogged down in the logistics or the, you know, the icky stuff that's part of, you know, there's stuff that's not fun about being a creative as well, or an entrepreneur or a creative entrepreneur. You know, it's hard being a your own boss, and there's stuff you don't want to do. But then when you hear somebody say, oh, that thing that you did, it changed this for me, or it's making a difference for me. I think that's important for all of us to do, to encourage and support one another.
And it helps to reinforce that what you've been creating actually is where you need to be right now.
Exactly.
And everyone needs a little bit of that in their life every day.
I completely agree, because there have been times that I'm like, what am I doing? Like, is this really worth it? Is this, like, you know, is all of this time and effort really paying off, or should I just, like, let it go? But yeah, so getting, you know, having the little emails even from people saying, oh my gosh, you know, I had one that said, your letter from the editor changed my life. And I was like, holy cow, like, really? Like, that's crazy, but awesome. You know, like, my words can actually do that. Like, that's really amazing and, like, super flattering. I mean, everybody, you know, as much as we, like, don't like to admit it, we all need the validation and the acknowledgement. Like, we crave that. So to be able to get it and also offer it, I think, is just great.
With that, talking about having those days where you have the wonder of, am I doing what I should be doing? Why am I putting all this time and effort and money into this project? How do you deal with those negative self-talk days where you're in that mindset? How do you get yourself out of that and back into a positive one?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is that I do go back and look at those testimonials. Like, I try to make sure I keep them, and because they're such great reminders. They really are. And the second is that I talk with my husband, who's extremely supportive, but I also have another friend who's been kind of by my side as far as kind of just an ear. I bend her ear on whatever, and she's just a great listener and encourager as far as, you know, just from when I got started, when this was an idea, all the way through. And I know that if I'm struggling, if I just reach out to her, she's on it. And to be honest with you, sometimes I throw it out on social media and just admit that I'm having a hard time. Like, you know, there's this community out there, like, all right, I'm asking for it this time. Like, you know, help me out. I need some encouragement. And those times, which I know it sounds so stupid to do that, but I had been blown away. And I even ended up I say girl because I think saying woman or ladies makes it sound too old, but this woman she lives in, I don't know, another state, and we've never met. We've never spoken, but we've kind of connected a little bit over Instagram, but she's been, you know, she's following the magazine, and she saw that I was posting that I was having a hard time. And the next thing I knew, I had 14 canvases on my front porch that had our Instagram, like the Belong Instagram quotes, various Instagram quotes on them. And I was just crying. And I thought, like, that, cause that's her, she has a family business that does canvases. It's called Canvas HQ. And the fact that she would take her thing, you know, what she's been called to do, or what she, you know, her creative outlet, and that she was going to serve me with it. Like, I mean, it blew me away, the love. And she sent it with a personal note. And I felt like, you know, besides the fact that I felt like $1 million, like, that was just incredible that somebody would do that for me. So reminding, you know, like, sometimes it's tangible, like, actually something shows up on my front porch. Other times, you know, it's, like I said, it's just reaching out to people who kind of have been with me since the beginning, and we can talk through the frustrations. And, you know, sometimes there are those days though that you're like, okay, I need to reevaluate. Like, where are we headed here? Is this realistic? Can I sustain this? Just like every business has. And, you know, even though they're rough days, they're reality. And, you know, we all have to face reality at some point along the line. So, but yeah, I know that was sort of like a blur of answers to your question, but those are the few different ways that I try to handle those days. And sometimes I just take a nap.
Sounds amazing. And I think one of the things that we all find hardest is the one that you said, where you will sometimes even just post in groups and say, hey, look, I'm having a hard time. I need the encouragement, because we feel like we're fishing for compliments. But you know, we did an episode recently where we talked about finding your tribe. And I know tribe is that overused jargon word, but it's about having that support system and that place where you feel safe to say, hey, look, I need you to lift me up, because I'm not able to do it today. I'm not finding that strength, and I need you to be that strength for me. And I think that's amazing, because it's not about fishing for compliments. It's about being able to stand on your feet and have people, you know, lift you up in the moments that you need it, so that you can keep pushing forward and keep living your dreams and keep taking your message out to the world, because other people still need to hear it.
Well, and I think the other side of that is that when you admit that you're having a hard time, or that, you know, you're discouraged or whatever, that it lets other people know that, like, that it's okay to have those days, and that that's sort of normal and, you know, built into what being, you know, a businesswoman or an entrepreneur, that's part of what it is. Like, it's just inevitable that you're going to have some rough patches. And I think that, you know, it's being authentic and, you know, it, like you said, it's not necessarily fishing for compliments, but part of it is just being real and saying, listen, it's not pretty. It may look pretty a lot of the time, but I'm not feeling it right now. Like, it's not feeling pretty. And this, you know, facade of success or whatever it is that you all see, like, it's not feeling that. It's not that for real. For real, it feels like this. And I think sometimes it's a good reminder, and also an invitation for other people to kind of feel free to have those feelings and, you know, and express them as well, instead of kind of feeling like they're not supposed to or whatever.
Yeah, it's that raw vulnerability that a lot of us try to achieve without, you know, airing dirty laundry. Right.
There is a line. I agree.
Yes. And I think that it's also recognizing that it's not, it's like having that best friend. And instead of, you know, the, you know, do these jeans make my butt look big kind of thing, where you're fishing for a compliment of, oh no, you look great. But more so that I'm having a bad day, and I need to like vent out, mm-hmm. and I need that camaraderie, or you to, you know, show me the light and get me back to that positive place.
Well, even if it's people saying that, like, oh my goodness, I'm having that day too. They're like, oh, thank God I'm not alone. Like, sometimes that's a real, it sounds bad, but sometimes that's a pick me up, because then instead of feeling like you're, you know, kind of, you know, drowning in a sea all by yourself, you're like, oh, at least I can hold their hand and we can drown together. you know, or whatever, we can wait for the lifeboat, we can just hang on. It there's, like you said, that sense of camaraderie, but it, in the sense of just not feeling like you're all by yourself, that's big.
And when we normalize things too, and we realize that there are other people out there that are going through it, even if it's not to the same magnitude, it allows us to then drop the masks of what we expect everyone else to see us as, and really just say, okay, this is good enough. This is me. This is what I'm going through. And, you know, it is what it is. It, just like you said, it's not always going to be pretty, but in all honesty, that's life. Life's not really pretty sometimes. So
yeah. And I think that there's a fine balance, and I don't have, like, I wish that there was a you know, three-step process or like a checklist you could go through to know if you're like in the zone, but between, you know, the authenticity piece and then the pretty piece, if that makes sense. Because so often as entrepreneurs, there is this push to, like, you know, you have to keep your Instagram feed pretty, or people will unfollow you or whatever. Like, you want it to look consistent and pretty and whatever. And you don't want to, you know, don't ever be negative. Don't ever be whatever. And then, but I'm like, but that's not what I'm about. And I don't think that's what Belong is about. And so I feel like I, you know, I'm always kind of skating that line of like, I want things to look pretty, but not too pretty. Like, I want you to think that I have it together, but I really don't. Like, how do you, I'm still trying to figure it out. Like, how does one do that? How does one put up this facade of like professionalism and that like, I have something legitimate to offer you that's of value to you. And yet I don't know what I'm doing. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, how do you do that? Like, and I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm doing it anyway. And I'm, producing this magazine, which, we're just taking things one step at a time. And so most of the time I feel completely like at a loss, like, it looks like this, but I feel completely incompetent. And like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I don't have it all together, but I'm not portraying that clearly enough or bringing the guard down enough or, behind the scenes enough or whatever. Cause I think so often we see like, oh, look how successful they are. Oh, look, they've grown so fast. It's so successful. And, you get envious of that. And it's not that. Like, it really isn't all that all the time. It can't be.
No, it can't. And in all honesty, when it comes to like the pretty Instagram feeds, what I love what they've done is the Insta stories, because that allows you to drop your guard without feeling like you're compromising, what you're putting out. And in all honesty, as long as you are doing what you want, as long as you know that what you're doing is right for you, regardless of what the outside world says, it's going to work. Regardless of how long it takes you to get there, it's going to work because it's your own journey. And it's not those 5-figure-a-month businesses that have got there in like a year, because you just don't know how long it took them to get to that point.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I think it's so important to take, you were saying, the mask off and to kind of break the illusion that's what we're trying to achieve, even because it's not the norm. That's not what we should be trying to achieve. I know that money is important and we all, we require it to live, but I think that it's important to recognize the little victories as we go, to celebrate those, and to realize that, like you said, the 5 figures a month isn't what makes our thing successful or our journey valid or whatever. Like, what makes it valid and worthy of what it is and makes it enough is that it's ours.
Super important. And I like to call those little wins the fat baby wins, the FBW.
Fat baby.
Yeah. Because if you're not celebrating the small things, then you get so ingrained in the bigger picture that you're not actually celebrating yourself. So I actually would like to know, what is your own version of success?
So I have spent a lot of time thinking about this because I kind of, I do struggle with it a little bit, and I'm guessing I'm not alone. Success originally, the first success was putting out a pilot issue. And of course, like, you think big picture, okay, like what do I want this to become? Well, that's not like, I don't think it has to get to the biggest picture to be a success. I think it already is. And for me, there's the success as far as a creative piece. And I feel like that I'm doing that. Like, I'm successful in creating what I have set out to create. And every time an issue comes, I am like, just overwhelmed that I hold it in my hand and I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, I made this. I made this happen. Like, this is me right here. Like, I have something to show for, my work or, and so those are like, having published each issue are huge successes. But, then there's always that financial piece. And I think for me, the success on the financial side for Belong will be just when it can take the place of my former job. It doesn't have to bring, like, I'm not looking at, huge figures and having a huge staff and, whatever. I'm just looking at it to pay the bills, if that makes sense. So that for me, like, it long will have hit a financial success point when I don't have to have another job. Mm-hmm. And I can focus all of my time and energy on this because this is what I am passionate about and where my heart is. And I think that it can come in time, but that's the other thing, that these things can take time, and that's okay. Like, and sometimes you have to put in your time doing things that are not where your heart is in order to make the other things happen. And that's part of your journey. So I don't know if that answered your question completely, but I think Belong is successful, and yet there's room to grow for sure. And I'm celebrating in the success of, the fact that we're in Barnes & Noble and that, Barnes & Noble increased their order. Like, I try to take those moments and like relish them and write them down and think, oh my goodness, like that's huge. You know, like I try to stop because it's so easy to think, well, no, it's not paying my bills yet. I don't care if they did this or did that, like the money's not there. So it's not what it should be, because that when I lose, it's like losing the why. You know, everyone talks about their why. You know, you need to make sure, you know what your why is for your business. And I feel like when I start focusing that way that I lose the why, and the why isn't solely financial, though some of it is, in all honesty. So, I mean, let's be real. We all have jobs, and jobs are to pay the bills to some degree. So at least in my experience, jobs are to pay the bills. I mean, they're work. They're things that you have to put time and effort into. And there's a lot of different successes that I think that there's so many little ones that I love celebrating. I just actually this morning got issue 5. It's in like 2 pallets of it are in my garage. And that's just like, you know, I sit there and I look at them and I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. You know, like the first round we ordered 200 and I just had 3,000 dropped in my garage. Like that's 1,400% growth in 4 issues. That's craziness. Like I need to stop and like acknowledge that with my, you know, for myself that, you know, that's really a lot of growth and it means something and it's worth celebrating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you need to celebrate that and celebrate that until you can't celebrate it anymore.
Yeah. Until there's the next thing to celebrate. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and sometimes it's celebrating the fact that it's time to bring things to an end. You know, and that's my approach with Belong has been, we're just going to take the next step and then the next step and then the next, because you just never know when your direction is going to change or your journey is going to take you somewhere else. So don't be so committed to a certain idea that you're not willing to bend or flex to let mm-hmm. things move to where, you know, they really need to go.
I love that. I think that that's one thing that people get so caught up in, is that bigger picture, the end goal, that they have this rigid plan that they haven't allowed themselves any flexibility to change or adjust accordingly as they progress, mm-hmm. that's when they get stuck and when they're not able to move forward anymore because they can't see how they can shift.
Yeah. And I am all for, so, I mean, I even use goal setting sheets. So, you know, don't get me wrong. I think goals are great. I just think that one needs to be able to set realistic goals and smaller ones. I don't know if you've all read the book Make It Happen by Lara Casey or seen her power sheets, but one of the things that she puts out there is like, if you have to make a doctor's appointment and, you know, and you want 3 things to do today, like don't put make a doctor's appointment on your list. Put find the doctor's phone number, call the doctor's office, write it on your calendar. There's your 3 steps. Or maybe the step today is just to find the number. Like break it down, because there's more in it than just making a doctor's appointment. And we so often like have these gigantic lists of all sorts of things. And it's like, again, it's celebrating the little victories, right? Like you did accomplish something. And I think that, you know, taking it down to those little things and reminding myself that getting a lot of, you know, you're doing a lot of stuff, you're managing a lot of stuff, and you do have these other goals out there. But as you move along, the direction could change. Like, you know, maybe we'll get to the point where Belong's not a print magazine anymore, although I don't see it headed that way at the moment. But, you know, you have to be open to see, if we weren't open to technology, where would we be? You have to adapt. You have to kind of grow with things, and you have to see what people's needs are and what they want as you're building a business.
And the one thing that people don't necessarily see is that change is constant. And if you're super against change, then it's going to be a lot more difficult for you to embrace what needs to happen next. If you come with it in open arms, it's going to be there for you waiting, and it's going to be an easy transition for you.
Right. Yeah, there are so many amazing quotes about change. You know, like change never comes from your comfort zone. Just reminders that, like, first of all, we all face it, and most of us don't like it, and that's just normal, but it is inevitable and essential in order to move forward in a lot of areas of our life. You know, sometimes things don't have to change, and that's great. But there's so much changing around us all the time too, that we have to adapt to, that change is just, like you said, it's inevitable.
To wrap things up, I like to keep it fun, and I'd like to know, if there was a movie produced about your life, who would play you and why?
holy cow, who would play me? Okay, well, this is just like my first off, because it's the one person that I've only been compared to one celebrity, and that's Carrie Russell, who played Felicity, because she doesn't show her naturally curly hair anymore, but when I was in college and Felicity was on, we had the same hair, and then she cut her hair, I cut my hair, but you know, she's the most similar to me, I think. So I would say Carrie Russell.
I was thinking that, or Sarah Jessica Parker, who also does not show her naturally curly hair. But if you've ever seen the original Footloose, you will see that full head of curly brown hair.
Yep, absolutely. And I embrace my curly hair, but yeah, she'd be a good choice too.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure talking to you, getting to know more about you and Belong and all of the amazing success that you've seen, because that is amazing success you talk about. Thanks. And for those of you listening, for more show notes and lovely tips, tricks, quotes, you can find them over at our website at beautifullyboldpodcast.com. And to continue the conversation, join us over in the Facebook group, the Beautifully Bold in Business Facebook group at beautifullyboldpodcast.com/Facebook. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Let's get you leading beautifully and boldly in your life and business. Head on over to beautifullyboldpodcast.com for more information about this episode, show notes, and resources on how to be beautifully bold in your business. There you can also learn more about the two beautiful women behind the movement. If you liked what you heard today, then head on over to iTunes and leave Nicole and Samantha a review. It's the little things that can have a huge impact, and your review would mean so much to them. This music is provided by bensound.com.